We are in the book of 1 Timothy. Open your Bibles. There should be a Bible in your lap because you should have brought it. But if not, there should be in a seat behind you or in front of you. There should be a Bible that you can look at. Thanks, you Puddin'. Open up to 1 Timothy. Let me get there myself. God is good. All right, I'm just going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4. And for those of you online as well, 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know what I want to tell you? Listen, we're not here to promote a church. We're not here to promote a pastor. We're not here to promote anything else other than Jesus, his heart, his word, and his spirit. Listen, Jesus is the one that changes lives. Pastor Gary won't change your life. Pastor Gary,
he changed mine.
That's only because of Jesus. A little bad answer there. But that's very sweet, but that's only because Jesus. Otherwise, he would probably been a scoundrel, and so would you, Mary Kate. So I can tell you that Jesus changes lives, okay? We're all sinners apart from Jesus. We're all going the wrong way apart from him. Listen, he comes in and does, I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about a supernatural change that starts when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you realize that he can help you change your thoughts, your mind, your action, and give you the power to do so. And so I want to encourage you, remember as we go through the scriptures together that it's all about him and living for him. And so as we're in the book of 1 Timothy, we've gone through the earlier chapters. You remember Paul is writing to Timothy. He's in the city of Ephesus. Obviously, historically, the Bible's accurate, archaeologically and all. We talked last week about overseers, pastors, and we talked about deacons, and there's a lot more to this. We covered that in the last few weeks. What I also wanted to say is if you recognize anybody that's serving, if you haven't or you listened online, you see someone here that you realize, man, they have a pastor's heart for teaching and loving God's people, or they have a servant's heart like this deacon, will you mention that to Pastor Gary? Send him a text. Don't just verbally do it. Send it to me as a text. So we would like to consider them just for maybe for training or just to pray about them and to see what God has for them. All right, let's read 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 4. I think we're only going to get through 6 verses. And so let's read it together, okay, depending on what translation you have. But here it starts. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Things like they'll forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving because it's consecrated with the word of God and with prayer. If you point these things out to your brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. So here we are going verse by verse through the Bible, and we do that for a reason, so that you understand what the Bible means in context. And so we're going to do that. We're going to go through every verse because we're living in a time which is really weird. There's more and more teachers teaching what I consider stuff that's been inspired by deceiving spirits and teachings, you know, that come from demonic entities. It's amazing what I watch, and the more we go to those later times, the more that's going to increase. The fewer pastors are going to be teaching from the Word. And it's a scary thing. I don't like it. This is in the New Living Translation because I liked it better. And my wife hates this picture. But to me, the scripture picture that I made up, but to me, it's accurate. Because, listen, all these pastors that are preaching don't say it yet. Okay, Lord, give me a little. But they're preaching things that are creating, whether it's legalism that's creating more bondage for people, or, hey, you can live however way you want. God forgives you. It doesn't matter, right? Just go along with the culture. That's a bunch of poop. Oh, and he does. But you know what? Without the truth, you can just be lovey-dovey someone right into the pit. And God doesn't want that. If you really love people, then you have to speak truth to them, right? And sometimes they're not going to like you, right? That's just the truth. But here we go. It says, now the Holy Spirit clearly tells us that in the last days, some will turn away from the faith or the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits or deceiving spirits, I like better, and teachings that come from demons. Now, this is the only time in the pastoral epistles part, that if I remember correctly, where it actually speaks about demons directly. And it's a heavy thing, and it's saying it's going to come from the pulpit. So what Paul is telling us is that starting back then, but in the later times, which it's a lot later, okay, that this is going to happen more and more, that it's going to increase. In other words, people, they'll want to go to churches that don't even open their Bibles. Listen, you should check out everything I say. Who knows? I could go wacko tomorrow. No comments from you, Lisa. But it is possible. Who knows, right? Check out what I'm saying for yourself. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Read it with me. You never know. I don't know where the microphone is, but if you would bring it back, so you can. We have comments or questions, and you can do that if you'd like. As long as I get to have a drink of my drink. Is that mine or yours? Oh, good.
Yeah, something I also want to bring attention. I wonder if part of this, you know, letter to Timothy was also an example to help other believers who probably were falling into it, who are on the pulpit, you know, because the Lord desires everyone to be saved. Yes. And it says, you know, even though their consciousness is seared with a hot iron, he knows which ones are seared and which ones are hardened. So I think this was another example of him trying to warn people, hey, you're teaching the wrong thing.
That's what he's doing. And he's teaching you right now. He's teaching, listen, I might be a pastor. Pastor Gary might be a pastor. But you know what? You're supposed to be a pastor in your own home. You're supposed to be a pastor with your wife. You're supposed to be a pastor, a shepherd, a shepherdess of your friends, of your family, of your coworkers, right? He's caused you to be a servant, a minister. That's what minister means, servant. So he's called all of us to serve. So how much more should we all be in God's word, knowing what it says for ourselves so that we won't be so easily deceived? Because if churches, if pastors, if Bible study leaders are going to be teaching stuff that's by deceiving spirits and teachings that come from demons, how much more should we know the Word of God? You know, they say, this was years ago, but in a forgery department, what they would do is instead of looking at all the forgeries, because there's so many different forgeries, when you look at a bill, it could get amazing. But instead of studying all those different, like there'd be bad doctrines, like in the church, what you do is you study the real thing. You memorize it. You put it in your heart so you know it so well that when something false comes your way, you know, wait a minute, that doesn't line up. In my spirit, something's wrong. That doesn't quite line up with the Word of God. The attitude's wrong. The heart's wrong. That doesn't line up with the Word. But you won't be able to do that if you don't know the Word of God. So what the devil's going to do, first and foremost, is water down every church. So you know what, everybody who doesn't know any different? They're going to want to go to the church that doesn't preach the Word. Oh, you don't need to bring in your Bibles. Don't worry about it. You don't need to study the Word of God. Don't worry about it, because it's a trap from the enemy. It says specifically they'll follow deceiving spirits and teachings comes from demons. Somebody told me this, and I don't even remember who it was. Oh, this memory. But they were, I think it was in Canada. They were going to churches. They came from Canada, and they said, He goes, you don't seem to understand what's... they visited our church and they said, well, I can't believe what you're teaching. You're just teaching the word and you're... And I was like, well, thank you. And he said, you know, a lot of churches that I go, they are teaching social justice. They're literally teaching in England. It was in England. That's what it was. Sorry, it wasn't Canada. It was England, but in Canada as well. But he was saying we lived there for years, and they're just talking about saving the earth and being kind to your neighbor, which isn't bad. But they're not teaching the word. They're not teaching the gospel. It's all these other things, other than centered on the Bible and centered on Jesus. He's like, you don't even see that anymore. And so, it's crazy. What's going on? But that's what these pastors and Bible study leaders and people are doing. It's sad. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly right. And so if you remember, after Paul talks about the church and her message in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he talked about the church and her members in chapter 2, in chapter 3, he talked about the church and her ministers, the deacons and elders. Now, it's the church and the ministry in here in chapter 4. And interestingly, at least to me, it starts off, the Holy Spirit tells us, okay? So that tells me that the Holy Spirit of God is still speaking. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God speaks. He spoke in the Old Testament. I didn't have a lot of room where I'd write down lots of scripture verses, but I just wrote down two. But you can read it for yourself in 2 Samuel 23:2, where David's like, man, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I just let it go. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in the New Testament, in book of Revelation 2:7. But you see it, if you studied the book of Revelation, we went through it verse by verse. You see, it clearly says, you know, he who has an ears, the Spirit says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. And then he goes on and speaks, and then he'll say this, and he'll say that. And so the Holy Spirit speaks, and the Holy Spirit will speak today if you will open your ears, if you'll open your eyes, if you'll listen to it. Almost like a radio station. You know, if you're not tuned into the radio station, you get nothing. But if you tune into that frequency, you're going to start to hear the voice of the living God. And you know what? They call him the living God, not the dead God. He is alive. And he speaks today. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And he does that through the Holy Spirit, right? And he'll speak through just various ways. I just wrote a few down. He'll speak to us through the Bible. And I don't mean just we're reading a book here. I mean something will jump off the page at you. Something will strike you, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm not living right. Or, oh, my gosh, I've been so encouraged. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll speak through the Bible. He'll speak through prayer. He'll speak through sometimes circumstances. Sometimes he'll speak through other godly people in the body. You know what? God has given me a word for you, brother. Would you pray about this? And I really feel like this. And sometimes he'll speak directly to our hearts on things. That's our God. If you don't know him that way, I'm here to tell you that he is alive, that he is living, that he speaks today. And I want you to learn, to develop, to listen, to learn, to hear his voice. Because we need that direction in our lives. And so that's our God. That's who he is. He speaks to us today. Did you have something short? Betty, do you want? Okay. Yes, would you? Right behind you, Betty.
The other day at dialysis, you was talking about the speaking. God pretty much, he didn't speak to me. He screamed at me. Someone needs your help. You need to speak to this person. And it was one of my dialysis friends I just made. He's an old gentleman. He's been on dialysis now for 20 years. And wow. I got to looking around in my class, in the room where we were at. And he looked so sad. I walked over there to him. I sat down. I took his hand. I said, what's wrong? He said, I want to die. I'm going to kill myself. And I told him, I said, are you saved? He said, yes. I said, that's not God telling you to kill yourself. That's the devil. Yeah. I said, now God sent me over here to speak to you.
Yeah.
I said, you need to get this right with God because he's not wanting you to kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's not your time.
Yeah. Well, see, and thank you. And even listen, just being able to listen to the Holy Spirit and to learn to hear his voice is so important, because sometimes we have our own voice in our head. Sometimes there's these demonic spirits whispering us to do this, do that. Usually it's what we shouldn't be doing. And then we have the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this is the way you should go. Walk in it. Don't look to the right or to the left, but listen to my voice. And so we have to understand that the Holy Spirit still speaks. And it says, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly. The word in Greek is rhetos, and it means distinctly. It means outspokenly. It means unmistakably. In other words, he's making it so clear to everybody that this is what's going to happen. And it says that some are going to turn away. In the Greek, it's epistemi, and it means to depart. It means to desert the faith. It means to revolt or rebel against it. It's like, I'm out of here. Now, this, to me, is a warning to those who are in the church then and now that you are going to see this happen. So don't be shocked. Don't be stumbled when you see it. Because it's going to happen. I thought she was so on fire for the Lord. I thought he was so on fire. Wait a minute. He led a Bible study. What is he doing now? Look how he's living now. Right? He divorced his wife. He's out doing this. Or she left him. And he's. I thought she loved God. And she's not even going to church. He's saying, look, because we can look at that and go, oh my gosh, Lord. But listen, he's telling you in advance. This is what's going to happen. So don't be shocked by it. Don't be stumbled when you see it. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31. And it's, to me, it's a warning. He was warning if I remember correctly, the Ephesian church back then. And he's warning you right now. He says this. He says, I know that after I leave you, Paul was said, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. And he went on to say, he said, even from your own number, people in your own church, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples for themselves. Listen, whenever you see anybody making it about them, and that should be a little red flag for you. Or their church, right? If we were, home fellowship, home fellowship, home fellowship, home fellowship. We got bumper stickers, we got everything. Okay, I got to have a home fellowship church. But this was made for me. It was very sweet. It was for the baptism. But it should all be about Jesus. You know, if you look at the back of the shirt, right? It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about God. And so that's what we should be directing people to. But people, you're going to see this, pastors, churches, they want to build their own little mini kingdom. And it's not about that. If we're saved, we need to be worried about and focused on building the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? That should be our focus, right? Yo, you have something to say? Yes, where's the microphone? All right, thanks, Sarah. Would you mind heading up there? Thanks real quick. And you're welcome to make comments or ask questions if you need to. Love it. Love it. We'll have more blankets next week.
It just, none of us are exempt from this. Not one of us. We cannot become complacent.
Yeah.
We have to continually contend for the faith.
Yes.
For our faith.
Yes.
Because this can happen to any one of us.
Correct. And well, I think to me, I think, yeah, I think what he's trying to say, I don't want you to get discouraged, church, you know, because listen, this is what's going to happen. And Jesus even said, well, yeah, but pastor, I don't understand. I thought this person was really saved and they were so excited about the Lord. It just didn't seem to last really long. And listen, that's going to happen too. He talked about the farmer scattering the seed, which is the word of God, right? Listen, and he talked about that in Mark chapter 4, 16 to 17. He said, seeds are like those that are sown on rocky places where they hear the word of God And at once they receive it with great joy. They're going to be excited about the Lord. They're going to be excited about, oh, there was a worship service. Oh, they said some prayer. And that's all it is. But then it says, but since they didn't have, they had how much of a root? It didn't root down into Jesus Christ. It says they only last a short time. When trouble comes, oh, wait, things aren't going to be always good for me as a Christian? Listen, no. Can I tell you what at this Billy Graham event? This is a weird, really weird thing that now, you guys, I'm sure you heard thousands being killed. Was it Nigeria? Christians are being killed all over the place. It's never on the news. It's only on the news because Trump brought it up. Good for him. So, but listen, you know what? There were law enforcement, there were actually snipers, not, there were actually good snipers to protect the people at these Christian events. Now, that's what it's come to. I mean, you could actually see him. I think Anthony was the first one to point it out. I was like, wow. Even at the event we were at this weekend, you know, so listen, it's not always going to, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be persecution. Things are always going to be roses and rainbows for you, Christian. You're in it for him, no matter what, right? Some people are just in it for, I just want to be happy. I just want to be, listen, it's, you're in it for the Lord because he saved you from hell. Listen, but it says when trouble or person comes because of the word, oh, I don't really want to, oh, this is getting too hard. People don't like me. People, oh, the following God's too, the culture's going this way. Listen, they fall away. That's what it's talking about. Did they lose their salvation? No, I don't think so. I don't think they were ever saved at all. Remember that says they had no root. There's people in churches, a lot of people in churches, and I don't think they're really saved. They go to Bible studies, but they walk away. When they walk away from the Lord, right? It just shows where they're really at. Listen, and I'm not talking about, you know, when somebody backslides a little bit or they're struggling with sin. I'm talking about when they're walking away from the Lord. 1 John, if you went, you were with us for this teaching a long time ago, you know this. 1 John 2:9 says this. It says, they went out from us or from church, right? But they did not really belong to us, right? For if they'd belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of us really belong to us. So listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see if somebody's faith is real when trouble, when persecution comes over time. You're going to see, are they going to continue to follow the Lord? Are they going to continue to seek him? We need to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And listen, if you see somebody going that direction, you try to pull them back, right? But here's what I found. No matter how much you love them, how much you care, you can't make anybody do nothing. Right? I wish you could. I wish I could. I think, oh, I got all this knowledge. I've been around the world. I've seen so much history, archaeology. I can nail somebody. You know what I realize? I can't do anything. I can't. I can just present information, and then you have to make your own decision. That's just how it is. And it says they will turn away from the true faith. This doesn't mean that they lose the ability to believe, right? Or no, they're cursed or something. But instead, they lose the content of what Christians believe because of these seducing spirits. Listen, it's like, imagine if the church starts telling you, this is okay. This is okay now. And you're going to see many more and more churches being more accepting of things that are not in the Word of God. You know, and you might even see some of them flying flags saying, hey, we're not accepting. Wrong. Whether it's listen, and we're to love everybody, right? God doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves everyone. But the bottom line is, listen, you know, we don't want to put an adultery flag out in front of our church and say, woohoo, adultery. We're the adultery church. Or, hey, we're the gay pride flag church. Or we're the money church. We'll put a big dollar bill out there. It's all about money. That's a lie. Listen, there are whole doctrines on, you've heard the health and wealth prosperity gospel, right? Which is really no gospel at all, right? Where if you give money, just give money to me. Yes, ma'am. I have capped teeth and nice hair. And if you just give money to our ministry, we'll give you 10 times. God will bless your socks off. You know, I just read of somebody, it was really disgusting. This ministry asked for money, said that this person dying of cancer, and said if they would send them money, God wanted to heal them. And so send them money for, God will heal them, send them all this money. The fortunate thing is, you know what? The person already had passed away, and they were trying to get money from him. So, you know what I liked? They sued him. They sued the ministry. You know what? Good for them. There's charlatans all over the place. Listen, God might bless you financially, but he might bless you spiritually. He might bless you some other way. You can't be there's so many doctrines of demons. Here's another one that I just don't like. And if you've been around the block for a long, long time, you've seen some of these, they almost go out of business, and then it seems to get re-amped up again. Christians, unfortunately, seem to get on board with this bad, bad stuff. You know, positive confession, or listen, where there's nothing wrong with being positive or saying good, positive things, but it would be like where you speak out, you know, truth like magic, and you achoo, achoo. Are you sick? I'm not sick. I'm declaring I'm not sick. I'm never sick. Well, it seems like you're coughing. Oh, yes. Well, no, I'm not coughing. You have a temperature. No, I don't. I claim I have no temperature. It's just positive things. I'm going to say I'm completely healed. And obviously, you're sick. Listen, all these, there's so many bad teachings out there. It's overwhelming. There was a shepherding movement, which sounds really nice, but you had to run everything by your pastor. So we had I don't even know if I should make this public. Is it okay to make it public or not make it public? Okay. So let's just say we have Nathan. I heard you did something amazing. And I heard you guys are getting married. Is that? Woo! Okay, this shepherding movement, you know what they would do? They'd be like, well, I don't know. Listen, I'm your pastor, so did you run that by me? Because I don't really know if she's the right one for you. You got to get approval. It's a power trip. It was so many disgusting things, and that sounds so spiritual. Well, he's the pastor. We have to submit to authority. Oh, my goodness. No, your authority is ultimately the Lord. Okay, I'm just a servant here to help you. And there's so many seducing spirits, and they're trying to pull people the other way. These deceptive spirits, teachings from demons, I've talked a lot about this in other Bible studies, so I'm not going to say a lot about it. But suffice it to say that there are, if you don't know it, there are evil spiritual entities that are luring you, that are whispering in your ear, they're enticing you to go a direction. And it's usually the direction of the culture, right? The culture is going, I was going to make it a good one. The Lord just won't let me do it every time I try. Anyway, it's trying to get you to go one direction, and God's like saying, nope, this is the way I want you to walk. So listen, you have to remember, he's trying to entice you to follow the world. The world's going to go the opposite way of God. Your flesh wants to go in that direction. Listen, hey, you know, I could give a million examples, but my flesh wants what my flesh wants right now. You know what I'm saying? But does God want that? And then Satan is also luring you in that direction. And what will happen is you're even going to hear it being taught in the churches. And you can't give in to it. Yes, go ahead. Yes, would you bring the microphone back there? We're making you work today. Thank you. I get to have my little sip of my drink here.
Oh, there you go. I'll talk slow. No, a while ago, back in youth group days, like yes. A very long time ago, an old friend and I from youth group, actually.
Yes.
We had visited this other youth group. It was like this boxing. It was very odd. Anyways, they were like praying over my friend and I for us to speak in tongues. It was the strangest thing ever. And it was like, I pray in the name of God that these two girls will speak in tongues. And her and I opened our eyes during prayer, and we looked at each other, and we could feel, like her and I, that something was so off, and it was the
strangest thing, but even things made for good, maybe. Some people have the gift of speaking in tongues.
Yes,
can
correct.
Be
yes.
deceitful.
And absolutely. I mean, maybe God wants to heal you. But you know what? Just because some preacher comes up to you.
Right.
I remember there's a pastor, Joe Foch, that I know, and he was telling me, you know, he loves the Lord. He's a pastor. He's got thousands of people in his church. He remembers when he goes up and he was praying to get healed, and all these people were falling out and flip-flopping, and they he put priest, and he said, you know, and he felt like the person was started pushing him, and he goes, you're resisting the Holy Spirit, brother. And he's like, I'm not resisting anything. I want all God has for me, whatever he wants. And he's like, you're resisting the, he's trying to push me back, like on the ground. And he's like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to do that. And why are you trying to force it? And then he was actually like trying to, listen. And maybe it was well-intentioned that that person prayed. And you know what? If God gives you that gift or gift of prophecy, whatever he gives you, then you receive it. But you're not going to force stuff on you. Don't be manipulated by these preachers. And this is my example, I think, of spiritual warfare. I love this picture. Especially when you're trying to do something good, like you were in church, let me tell you, the enemy wants you to think about something else. I want you to panic about something that you have at home. What am I not doing? I want you to think about, this person's angry at you. I want you to think, oh, you're really hungry, Martha. You need to eat something. I got to do this afterwards. Oh, I forgot to take out the garbage. Did I feed the dog? You know, whatever. Pastor Darren's hair swoop isn't right. Whatever distracts you. That's what the enemy does. Okay? Especially when it comes to godly things. It says that our struggle is in Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the things around us, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world that are moving you in the wrong direction, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You have to understand that is a reality. So all the more you have to be praying, help me, Lord, help me to pay attention. Help me keep my eyes on you, Lord. Help me keep me in your word, Lord. Help me get up and do my devotional instead of sleeping in bed like I want or looking at my phone like I really want. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 goes on to say, such things will end up coming through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. In other words, some of these teachers, these Bible studies, they're going to end up knowing that they're wrong. They're going to realize, you know what, I should be feeding the flock, not fleecing the flock for money. Wait a minute. But you know what, I got to keep my jet fueled up, right? I'm still doing God's work, so bring the money in. I'm just going to keep teaching it. Listen, they're hypocritical lies. Hypocrite means actor. It means you're putting on a mask. It says, and this hypocritical liars not only include those who are willingly go along with those dressed up lies of the enemy or the culture and justify themselves going against God's word, but more specifically, those that claim to teach the Bible, yet it's contrary to God's heart, it's contrary to God's word, it's contrary to God's spirit. That's what he's talking about specifically. And it says consciences, that Greek word is sunitis, and it means a person's moral compass or that which distinguishes good from evil. He's like, that's going to be seared, like with a hot iron. And this is a doozy. When it says seared, the Greek word is cauterizo. It's where we get our word, have you ever heard to cauterize something? Like, have you ever had to cauterize, you have to, like, burn it, right? That's what it means. Pastor Gary says to brand it. Yes, he's right. So this is what it means. He's like, what he's saying is, right, these liars, their consciences are going to be seared. Hey, I'm doing God's work, so what is it? I can just keep fleecing the flock or whatever. They're going to be seared. That word, it means to burn the surface of in Greek, katerizo, to scorch painfully. It means to make callous or unfeeling, to dry up, to wither. So what he's saying in this scripture is these people, right, their consciences are going to be seared, burnt, to the point where they've lost their moral compass. They've lost their feeling. to judge good from evil anymore. It's going to be made callous or unfeeling because it's so burnt. That's how their hearts are going to be. My God, that should scare the you-know-what out of you. But you know what? Good, because maybe you, I, we will pay more attention to what's being taught. I have a hard time turning on TV preachers anymore. Flags go up all the time. So what do we do? What do you do? What do I do? First, number one, most important thing, and I didn't know what scripture picture to use, so I used the same verse, but I used two scripture pictures. One is don't conform or go fit into the mold or go the direction of the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That'll only happen if you read the word. The most difficult thing you have to do every day is to get up and do your devotions, is to read your word, isn't it? You can look on your phone pretty easy. You can check out your Facebook. I can get on my game real quick, or a news site, or my texts. What's the most difficult thing to do? It's for you to read the word, because that's the spiritual attack that you must overcome to become strong and stable and godly so that you can live a life and you can end up helping others. Does that make sense? So listen, here's the deal. Listen, the whole culture, the world, your flesh and the devil is putting in dirt in your mind. And God's word is going to cleanse us. Wait a minute. That doesn't line up with the word. So listen, you need a little washing. It's the same verse, but it's a different picture I put on here. Right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need a good brainwash, okay? To scrub all the dirt and debris and junk from the world, our flesh and the devil. That's what we need to do. Also, in the culture with the lies of the devil, we combat it with the word of God. Wait a minute. Lord, tell me not to say that. All right. Just a few years ago, there was even more stuff going the wrong direction. It's such an incredible. We slowed down a little bit. Thank God. A little respite. But it'll probably end up going that way more. But there's such a pull in the wrong direction. We combat it with the word of God. That's what we do, right? Not with political parties, not with whatever. It's with the word of God. It says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We fight with the word of God and with prayer, right? 2 Corinthians 6:7 tells us we faithfully preach God's truth. That's why we're up here preaching books of the Bible. That's why Pastor Gary spends Tuesdays, you know, teaching through the book of Genesis or whatever, because that's where the power from. God's power is working in us as that word gets in you. We use the weapons of righteousness, right? And the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. And if you look at the little picture here, the Bible, it's a little sword. They call that the sword of the Spirit, right? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2, right? It says, preach the word. Christian, he says, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Because all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking even, and training in righteousness. Right? And then, how long have I been teaching? I'm afraid to ask. Okay. Yeah, we're just going to go a couple more verses and we'll finish up. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, hey, these guys, they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods or whatever, to be more religious, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Amongst others. This describes more legalistic side of those who teach with their conscience seared. There are whole denominations, for example, where their pastor or their priests are not even allowed to get married, even though God ordained marriage. Doesn't anybody find that weird? Legalists tend to think that going beyond what Scripture says in denying yourself makes you extra spiritual. And it goes a little bit like this. Hey, brother, are you following the Old Testament dietary laws? I don't want to say it, but, you know, I have some wonderful brothers in the Lord that are lean in some areas. And like, well, if you're really spiritual, you know, you'd follow some of the dietary laws of the Old Testament. You know, I mean, just, you're just a little more spiritual if you do that. You know, you're a little more spiritual if you, whatever just goes a little bit, you know, don't get married. If you don't get, listen, if you choose not to get married or you don't think that's what God has for you, that's fine. But it's not going to make you more spiritual or less spiritual if you eat a ham sandwich. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, you can have a lobster, you can have crab. It's not going to make you any spiritual or less spiritual. And if you don't believe me, then there are people who, brother, I don't eat that. I don't put that in. Listen, if you're doing it for health reasons or allergies, that's fine. But don't think that food's going to make you more spiritual or less spiritual. Because let me tell you, that's another bad teaching, and on that. Listen, 1 Corinthians 8:8 says this. Listen, says, you know what? Food does not bring us near to God. Is that not clear? Listen, we're no worse if we do not eat it and no better if we do. So you know what? Go ahead, have some ribs, have some corn, have some pork, whatever, and chow down. And you know what the Lord says? We're to be thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God in prayer." Listen, James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights to you." Right? He's giving you these things. It's for your good. I think the Apostle Paul saw these legalistic commands, right? Oh, you can't marry. You got to abstain from foods. You got to do this, got to do that. All these legalistic things, right? Not only as unnecessary and wrong, but also an insult to God's character that had to be corrected here in verse 4. And that's what he's doing. God created marriage for the blessing of life. Listen, I found my wife, and she's a good thing. Most of the time. No. She's still human, okay? All right? That's all I'm saying. Whit, don't look at me like that. You know. But she is a good, right? So God created marriage for the blessing of life, also for the propagation of life. I've got some wonderful kids right now that are here even studying the Word of God, and I'm so thankful for that, and that's good. And God created food for the sustaining of that life. So give thanks, right? And it says consecrated. That word in Greek is hagiazo, and it means set apart for God's use. So giving thanks to God in the word and in prayer for our food takes something ordinary and makes it extraordinary. So listen, in Genesis 1:2, I think, maybe I got that verse wrong, but also in Genesis 9:3, God says, hey, I've given you all this food. You're to eat of it, whatever you want. It's yours. It's all good, right? And so that's what it means. It's set apart for the word of God. When we give thanks, when we pray, listen, here's how your prayer should be when you go to eat lunch. It shouldn't be, God is good, God is great, thank you for my food, amen. Do you know what I mean? Listen, take a minute. Just thank him. Listen, he's given you food. Listen, the reason you have breath in your lungs is because God permits it. Right? You have life right now. You live in a great country. No, it's not a perfect country. But let me tell you, thousands aren't being massacred in a day. Listen, believe me, you have it way better than most of the world. If you have traveled other parts of the world, let me tell you, you have it way better. And so we have so much to be thankful for. When you go to lunch today, how about you take a second and just thank him. The word, he's given you this food. You're just blessing, you're consecrating it and saying, thank you, Lord, you set this apart for me. Thank you for sustaining me. Help me to live for you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me more time on this planet to be able to make your name known, to be able to make your word known. Listen, does that make sense, everyone? Thank him. Be thankful. It's really easy to not be, right? Because we can focus on our problems because we got problems, right? You got problems, Neely? Absolutely. I got problems. You got problems? you can easily focus on them instead of just saying, Lord, but thank you for the things we do have. Hold my calls. And then the last verse, and I'll stop here just for time's sake. It says, listen, 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if you point these things out to your brothers and sisters, it says, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. So first thing it says, if you do these things. I know tons of pastors, they don't confront things, and you can do it in a loving, kind way, but they don't want people to get mad at them. They don't want to be disliked. They don't want to be have less seats in their churches. They don't want to have less tithes in the offering boxes. But you know what? I don't want those things either. But you know what? If I'm to be a good minister, you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to point these things out. I'm supposed to instruct, hey, sister, brother, I love you. You're going the wrong way in this area. I'll do it humbly, hopefully lovingly. But that's what a good friend would do. If you saw me, Terry, if you saw me going the wrong way, you'd probably pray first, right? Probably make sure. Then a bunch, you'd be like, Pastor, I noticed, I just want to say this humbly, but I noticed that, maybe I'm wrong here, but I noticed that you're starting to, your attitude, maybe in this area. You know, have you thought of, you know, because, and why would you do that? Because hopefully you love me in the Lord, right? That's what we're to do for one another. So listen, I am never going to be the most popular pastor because I'm going to tell you the truth. You can either get mad at me, rebel, walk away, whatever, or you can receive it and say, okay, Lord, let me have everything you want. I need to hear it and help me to go the right direction. Okay? We have to say yes. Pastor, isn't it hard to tell people things that they don't want to hear? It's the hardest thing to do. But if you really love them, you'll learn to do that. You have to do that. Does that make sense? And it says, point these things out. The Greek word is hupotithemi. It's kind of a funny word, but it means to instruct and explain. It means to supply from your own resources. So he's saying, if you point these things out, or some of your translations might say, if you instruct these things or explain these things. It means to take from your own resources and give it to someone else. And that's important to note. Instructing others does not mean just on Sunday mornings or at Bible studies. It means in our words, in our deeds, in our life. That means if you come over for pizza, you know what you're going to see? We're just going to pray at the table. We're going to do what we normally. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. It needs to be in our life. The disciples who followed Jesus, they were with him most of the time. They saw how he lived. They realized he was, you know, none of us are going to be perfect, but they're going to see, wait a minute, there's a kid. Okay, this is how he lives. This is how he is. They're going to do life together. And it says, you'll be a good minister. And you remember that word just means servant. So Paul's telling Timothy, and he's telling all of us, if you want to be a good servant of the Lord, nourish yourself in God's word. It says right here, right? Nourished on the truth. Take this in to your head, to your heart. Let it seep down deep, Lord. Deepen those roots in me. I want to have that root in your heart and your word, Lord. Too often ministers are evaluated by or pastors by their eloquent speech or their level of education or their air of professionalism or busyness or even how big their churches are, how many people do they have. None of that matters. According to the Lord, God wants to know, are you being a good servant? Are you teaching? Are you feeding the flock? Are you instructing the flock? Are you telling them what my word says? Even if they don't like it, even if they get mad at you at the time being, that's what we have to do. That's what you have to do. And as you know, all Christians are ministers or servants for God. So we have to ask ourselves that same question. I think you do. I do. We do. Are you being a good servant? Are you taking it in, the nourishment, so that you can give it out? And listen, if you're not, God's not condemning you. God's convicting you. He's saying, I want you to make this a part of your life, a part of your practice, so that you can take it in, not here, all the way down in your heart, so it comes out in your life, so that you can help others around you to grow. Does that make sense, Rockin' Robin? Does that make sense, Jessica? Lisa? Okay, we're never going to do it purposely. Pastor Darren doesn't do it purposely. Yes, he does do it purposely. Perfectly. Pastor Gary won't do it perfectly, and neither will you, but you know what? Lord, help me to do that. Because we all want to hear God be pleased with us. Are you being a good servant for me? Here's my last scripture, my last picture for the day for you. Because this is what we all want to hear, and this is what we all need to hear. It's from Matthew 25:23. It's in the New King James Version because I liked it better. Jesus says this, and he says, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Listen, that's what I want for you. When that time comes for us to be with the Lord, I want him to see you and embrace you and to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't go the way of your flesh. You didn't go the way of those deceiving spirits. You didn't go the way of the culture of the world. You went my way. You chose to serve people. You chose to bless others. You chose to help them. You chose to speak the truth in love. Because that's what's going to make a difference in people's life. It's the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense, everyone? Yeah. All right. I think we'll have to wait for the next verses for next week. So let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. I know that there's nothing I can do or say, Lord God, to... So I'm just asking you to plant whatever truth that's being spoken to somebody right now deep in their hearts in the good soil. I'm asking you to plant it deep, Lord, that it would spring up and grow and be watered and nourished so that it would grow and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would raise up more servants, more ministers in this church, Lord God, more people that are just your servants, Lord God, that are focused on nourishing themselves with your word so that they can give it away to others in your name, Jesus, so that you can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, I pray that no one here would leave feeling condemned because that's of the enemy, but maybe conviction by your Holy Spirit. Maybe you're saying this thing you need to get out of your life or this thing you need to start putting into your life. I pray that they would listen to the Holy Spirit that speaks to them now. Even if they're feeling that little bit of heat, that little bit of truth is being spoken to them right now, supernaturally, here or online or at home, Lord God, that they would listen to your voice and obey it when they walk out of here, Lord God. So put it in their mind, Lord, in a good way. Burn it in their minds so that their hearts won't be seared and their consciences won't be seared by sin, because that's what sin always does. Is it burns and sears the heart. Don't let that happen to anyone who's listening to this message now or in the future. Bless these wonderful people, Lord. Encourage them. Strengthen them in your word, Lord God, so they can hear at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I love you, Lord. We love you, and we pray your blessing. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.